Welcome to Discussing Rhythmic Gymnastics, the podcast we know you have been waiting for.
Hi, and welcome everybody back to another episode of Discussing Rhythmic Gymnastics. I'm Sophia.
And I'm Christina. Hello, everyone.
And we haven't finished talking about the Grand Prix in Marbella in our last episode, so we have to do another routine review episode today. And I think this will definitely be the last one because tomorrow starts the World Cup in Athens, and from there on, I think...
From then on, we will have enough, competition results to discuss and see how everything went for our girls, the gymnasts, on an international level, and see how they did, how they performed, their current standings. So, yeah, I don't want to say I'm glad that it comes to an end because I love watching the new the new routines, but still I also enjoy seeing them in the competitions performed and how they improve and what is better, what is different, and the more often you see them, the more details you notice, what they included, maybe something they've changed. So I'm looking forward to that, but I'm also glad we get to do one of the older gymnasts one more time.
Yes, because our listener Maya messaged us on Instagram and requested that we talk about Yekaterina Vedenjeva from Slovenia. She performed four new routines this season and won a few medals at the Grand Prix with them. So we are going to watch them and review. And then I have also another unpopular opinion on these routines for you. So we can discuss that.
For the listeners who've been here from the start, we talked about her in like one of the first episodes when we discussed
when we talked about the world championships.
And what I associate her with the most are perfectionist turns. Her turns are incredible. And that I really, really, really love her leotards. And I'm very excited to see if she has great new ones or if she kept some of the popular ones. So, I think I'm ready to dive into that.
I think both of these will be to your satisfaction.
Okay, then let's watch. With which one should we start?
I would start with hoop.
Okay, let's see the hoop performance.
So we were just wondering about the
music.
Let me check this out. I have a link here.
Because it sounds very Mind familiar. Heist. And I feel like this is a very popular soundtrack. Maybe music. It has been moved. Maybe it has been used in some reels or TikTok videos, something like that, because it sounds very, very familiar, very dramatic.
I don't think
very
that
sinister.
Is, I don't think that it is a soundtrack at all.
So it sounds like it's part of a trailer to a movie, something like that. At least it seems familiar. If you know where this music has been used before, or have any more information, please let us know.
Yeah, so no, it's an album by Zach Hamsey. I don't know. He's a composer, and the album Mind Heist has several tracks on it, and one of them is called
No Turning Back.
Yes. Nice. I think it's a really great performance, and I think that is one of the routines I love most from her that I've seen so far. Just because I think it's a bit out of a comfort zone. Not really, but it's like you said, it sounds like a soundtrack music, and it's really you have a lot of tension in there.
Yeah,
and she really gets that across, I think.
I believe it's
apart from her performing so clean, mm-hmm. like as always, it's just a pleasure to watch.
Yeah. So what I had the impression that she was trying to get across a message from running away, from fleeing something,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
like as if she yes. like had no chance of turning back. Yeah, she had to get to mm-hmm, the other side mm-hmm. of whatever. So yeah, that yeah. was the feeling that routine left with me. But I believe she is not as much in the music as she wants to be yet.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But it's just was a, thinking a like feeling, at the... just a tiny hint. But
yeah.
Because, I mean, her
she
elements...
could be more present and...
I believe like, she had a slightly different... She wanted to put the accents in slightly different positions mm-hmm. or moments in the music. At least that's the impression I get. But her elements and mm-hmm. her body difficulty are performed so cleanly that, you don't really notice it. But I was like, were you supposed to do that jump... like on this, like right this second, or maybe three counts later. It's just it feels a bit off still. But
there's more opportunity in this routine mm-hmm. than yeah. she currently uses.
Yeah. But again, who are we to judge? Yeah. I mean, it's just a feeling we get, and I love her facial expression. She looks like she was running away from something, and it's kind of a
fleeing.
I mean,
fitting to the title, The Heist, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
why not?
It's can imagine a message or a story behind this routine.
But I have only one but. I'm not that big of a fan of that leotard. Like the black one
I thought you might say that.
With the salmon colored flowers on it. I mean, it's a nice design, but I don't like the colors. But
the
that's
color
just
combo, yes.
Personal preference.
Yeah. Yeah,
she
I
can
think
wear anything,
you might
so.
Like the next leotard much better.
Mm-hmm.
She wears for her ball routine, like in one of your favorite colors, I think.
Oh, yes.
Lavender.
Oh, I already see that. Let's watch together.
Let's watch. So this is what I would call a classic Yekaterina Vedineva routine. So beautiful, so elegant.
Very
I
lyrical.
Just noticed again... that her movement of her arms like are so essential to her artistry and mm-hmm. what she significantly looks like while performing. That level of elegance is just in her arms, you know?
Yeah.
Perfect.
So I think she has very balletic arms, and a lot of the movements mm-hmm. in this routine specifically were very ballet based, which is very fitting for a French song, I believe, since we all know France is the birthplace of anything having to do with ballet.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I think it's very fitting, especially for the Paris Olympics. I believe several gymnasts chose at least one France or French related song in their routines, so just to pay tribute to the hosting country. And as you said, I love the leotard. I love the color. I'm always a bit cautious mixing yellow and blue, but in this case it just works, and it's very elegant
because it's just a light version of those two colors.
And I would wear this as a ball gown, and you could like add a long flowy skirt and it's a ball gown, so I really love that one.
Yeah.
Very romantic, very emotional, her expressions, the flowy movements, so really like that one for her.
Yeah, also there's one move in there where you can really see the passion, where she's like running towards the judges, reaching her arm out and doing such a longing motion.
Yeah.
Which is really beautiful and fitting, I think. And I also noticed There's one move in there which I have seen in several ball routines right now this season, where she's laying on her back and lets the ball roll
up, like, to her feet,
up between her feet, mm-hmm. and then down again.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dasha has it all also, but she's flexing the feet,
mm-hmm.
while the ball is rolling upwards. And I think Anastasia Simakova as well. So maybe I just haven't noticed this before in earlier seasons, but now it's really present for me that a lot of them are doing it, and it looks really great.
Yeah, it's a good look, and I think it's because they're getting points for it. Like, the more you get let the ball roll across your extremities, the more points you get in difficulty. And you see these up-and-coming elements with every change in the code of points. So suddenly everybody has longer sequences on the floor where they let the ball or the hoop roll across several body parts. Yeah, but
I'm definitely not a fan of that. I hate this. I really think that every routine in some part, you can lay them over each other and they are all the same. Lying on the floor doing rolls and rolls and rolls and another roll, yeah. and then another roll and then getting up and at the end again five other rolls and then end.
Yeah, so this is, I believe, a mistake in the code of points, that this is allowed and gives you that many many points for your difficulty. But I think if it's performed well and if it's done creatively enough, I'm not bored or annoyed by it.
What bugs me?
Yeah.
What bugs me the most is when it's like in the middle of the routine,
mm-hmm.
and they don't move from one place on the carpet. Like, they just maybe turn themselves from the front to the back or something, mm-hmm. And roll and roll and roll, and it's like 10 or more seconds,
mm-hmm.
where there's actually nothing happened.
Yeah. And
happens.
Of course, it needs to be fitting for the music. If it fits to the music because there's a slower part somewhere in there, fine, then do it. Then
so
it's
I
fitting.
Think this is more likely to be at the end of a song.
Mm-hmm.
So most of them are doing these roles also with the hoop at the end of a routine where it usually fits more.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I think like half of the roles are enough
to
watch, you know?
And I would even contradict that a bit and wouldn't say it's good at the end of a routine. I would start with it. Why don't you in quotation marks, get it out of the way. And if you like build your routine, I don't want to say correctly, but in a logical way, you start slow and with lower music somehow. And then you have a build-up and you, like, end with a explosion or something. And, like you have...
Yeah.
Yeah, or either you have, like, several dynamics in there and then you have a middle part where it fits, but you usually don't become slower towards the end of a routine because you want to end with a bang. Yeah, and that's what you usually want to do.
It depends on the music.
Mm-hmm. Of course it does.
But,
of course it does. But
in general, I agree.
You should pick, you don't have to, of course, but I think you should pick music that ends with a bang and that like makes the audience jump up from their seats and like start cheering and applauding. Because if the
audience... break down crying.
Yeah, okay. That's the alternative. Yeah, but I believe we... of course we don't have the same opinion on this one, but... Dear listeners, let us know what you think. What kind of musical changes do you prefer within your routines? It's only 90 seconds. So do you prefer starting slow or watching a routine that starts slow and then ends with a bang? Or do you prefer like the action at the beginning and then slowing it down towards the end? Do you prefer a mix-up? Let us know what your preferred music build-up is.
I think there's a whole other discussion with group routines there.
Mm-hmm.
For a 2 minute 30 second song, you have to have more highs, like several points where it goes up and down and maybe at a faster pace or like more orchestral or something.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't get boring
mm-hmm.
for the audience.
Yeah.
And some groups like do this very well.
Mm-hmm.
Others maybe not so much. I mean, it really depends. You have more options with the length of this routine. So I also understand where why there are often like different versions of a song or different songs entirely mixed together
mm-hmm.
so that there's still something new coming throughout the routine.
Yeah. All right.
So we continue with her clubs routine. Mm-hmm. I think very unusual concept for me. Okay. But let's watch.
Okay.
Oh my God, goosebumps all over my body.
I absolutely see what you meant by unusual combination, unusual choice.
Mm.
The moment I saw her leotard, I realized, that looks very Swan Lake-y. And it absolutely was. It is. So she chose music from Swan Lake by Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, the fourth act.
And of course, we all know the slower and more quieter the quieter melody towards the end and she does it very, very beautifully, even though clubs is a very, very unusual choice for that piece of music.
When first watching this, I thought, are you sure you want to do that with clubs?
But
there are some elements in there where she made really good use of the apparatus, and again her arm movements just make it work. Like, if someone could do a clubs routine to Swan Lake, she could.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? Oh, she can.
And
Lyotard, very genius. From the back, it has more black in it for the black swan. In the front, it is more white for the white swan.
Yeah.
And the only thing I have to criticize is, why are the clubs neon yellow?
Yeah, okay. Maybe they're not, like, colored yet correctly.
Yeah, but they need to be orange for the beak of the swan.
Yeah, okay. That's a fun idea. I really loved one of her grand battements that were very, very ballet-like and fitting for soloist the swan of Swan Lake. Yeah. Somewhere in the middle, when I was like, yeah, you actually watched that performance. You know what the ballerina does in this sequence, and you took some elements and tried to incorporate them, and she did that really beautifully. So great job, and I'm looking forward to seeing this more, because, as you said, nobody would like jump to that conclusion. To use clubs for that, but it's she makes it work.
Especially when we keep in mind that this song was the emotional roller coaster at the Rio Olympics when Margarita Mamoun finished her last routine and with knew she had won the gold medal. And I think from that on forwards, it will always be like a goosebump music or moment. I think, really great choice. You can't do wrong with that music. You can just not acknowledge it in your performance, but she does. I think great idea. Mm. Well done.
Yeah, good. Then, last but not least, we have her ribbon performance. And again, just looking at the leotard, love the minty green. I love the design, love the style in combination with the purple. Looks fantastic. So let's watch.
Yeah, in my opinion, I'm not a fan of the combination,
but I am.
The minty green and the design itself. Yes, we have different opinions there.
Yeah. So that went along the lines of her ball routine, right? Very similar. Elegance wise.
I remember during the stream I wrote to you, nobody does ribbon like Yekaterina.
Yeah.
So it's just the fact that she matches her apparatus so perfectly to her leotard, it just, it looks like
it rounds it
they
off.
Are one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And it really looks as if it was an elongation of her arm or her extremities. So as if she really could control it until the very tip of the ribbon.
Yeah. So that's and doing the spirals isn't work at all. Like, it just looks so natural.
Mm-hmm.
And just.
And again, she did the
style of her performance.
She did the attitude turns.
Matches the ribbon.
Yeah, and then she did the attitude turns and jumped out of them into a nice arabesque jump. Only a tiny one, but it's just a nice combination and fitting to the music.
Just a signature move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is, isn't it? So that's
She has it in every routine. Mm-hmm. We discussed that also when we talked about her at the World Championships. Yes,
I really love that for her because it's just her own unique thing that she can add, and she really does it, marvelously. So,
yeah. So I don't know if you have noticed throughout these four routines. I read on Instagram an unpopular opinion again about someone saying that her starting pose are always the same or almost the same. And I have watched more closely, and it is true that she always starts standing up and always like in a fourth position, or almost always in fourth position. One time she has her derrière foot oh my god, how to say this in English?
The leg that is
nicht aufgestellt, sondern umgelegt.
Oh, she has her leg that is behind her in a very pointed tendu position.
Yeah, tendu position, of course. That would be the description, right? But otherwise, fourth position on relevé, and that's the starting pose. I don't know what to think of that. If it's just like her way of connecting all of her routines, like in kind of a theme. But maybe it's just also because she sometimes starts right away with those attitude turns.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just makes sense that she is standing like this already. But I just read that and was thinking like, she actually does do that.
Yeah. So the unpopular opinion is that somebody is bored by that and they don't think it's a creative idea. Well, I wouldn't say that it's an unpopular opinion. It's just an opinion you could have. If that's boring for you, it's not that everybody else loves her starting poses, you know. It's just the way she starts. It's something that a viewer realized and noticed. So, yeah. I mean, not everybody can do
Brianna Calain.
Every routine... and then start the next one with the ending pose from the former routine.
But I think that this was submitted under an unpopular opinion. Says so much about this community because we are so focused on giving love to every gymnast that criticizing something is automatically an unpopular opinion.
Yeah, and that on the other hand makes it quite nice, isn't it? Or doesn't it? I really, really, really... loved seeing this change of the community and the gymnasts themselves over the past decade, let's say, because there's really a lot of support and friendships are being formed. And of course, it's a sporting competition. Of course, everybody wants to get the gold medal, but they also know that everybody puts in their best and it's a performative sport. You can love all the other people's performances.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't you if they're doing a great job? If you're feeling better after watching or after having watched such a performance, why wouldn't you be nice to them? Yeah, so that's something that has changed over the last couple of years. And I really, really loved seeing that. I wouldn't say that 10 years ago that was the common culture when having competitions that all the girls were friends. I mean, you had some people who you knew they were training together or going to the same training camps and using the same way of transportation to getting to a competition. And of course, they met and became somewhat friends, but there were still a lot of rivalries going on that I feel at least now are like gone, or at least you behave friendly towards each other and polite and do not like lash out towards anyone. Or if it happens, it's very, definitely, very rare.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so when talking about the Grand Prix in Marbella, I have two routines that caught my attention. One is from Habiba Marsouk from Egypt. And I was very excited because her club's routine is to a remix of an High School Musical
soundtrack. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And in a remix with Everybody Dance Now. So the start of the routine is to the song, I think it's called 16 Minutes, like the first song of the third movie, where they're playing basketball. Yeah. It's such
whispered intro. Tension. Yeah.
Okay. But it's really, really fun. And I think it's a wonderful idea to have such a fun routine. And I think I have never seen someone perform to a High School Musical song.
No, me neither. And I mean, you have to add, that was like when, I mean, it was probably more your age group that followed High School Musical than my age group, because I was a tad too old when they were published. I was nearly 16, 17, 18 when the movies came out, and you were around 10, 12.
Yeah. And that was a lot more popular with your friends. Of course, back then, the trends of the US like got to Germany like a few months or half a year or year later.
Yeah, definitely.
Still, because of not of the big connection of the internet, but I still remember when a friend of mine got the DVD from the first High School Musical movie. We watched it at home, at our home, and I still remember that experience and trying to do the dance after the movie, and it was really exciting because it you couldn't just stream something. Exactly. You had to have the DVD, and then the second movie, I don't really remember if we watched it on free TV back then, but the third movie we went into the cinema, of course, because it was such a big deal already.
Because funnily enough, they were just like television movies in the US on the Disney Channel. And then they arrived later, like half a year, a couple of months later in Germany on television. Yeah. And you needed to be like paying attention when it was on to watch it and catch the movie. Or you had to like buy the CD to listen to the songs or download them.
Oh, I remember the soundtrack for the second movie. I don't know if the CD even still works, because I listened to it so many times. And this was also the time where we first had MP3 players and could listen on the way to school, etc. And on breaks with our friends. So this was such a trend back then.
And I remember, shout out to my primary school best friend on that note. You know who you are if you're listening. And we listened to these songs over and over again. And I was so happy that you loved them just as much as I did, because it was not frowned upon, but it was seen as a guilty pleasure. And oh, that's kids' music. Yeah, and it's definitely so Disney-like, and it's not like it was not on the radio, of course. And did I ever tell you what connection I specifically have with the first soundtrack? Why this soundtrack is so special to me and what I accredit this to? So we coincidentally passed our driver's license test on the same day, just 5 years apart. It was the 20th of December. And for me, it was in 2006, and you did it in 2011, I believe.
2010,
11, something.
Yeah, 11, okay, exactly. Definitely, yes.
And in Germany, you have to arrive really, really early in the morning to take your driver's license test. And they like have a test on the same day for several people. And you have to bear in mind that if nobody passes in front of you, like their test might be over after 5 minutes and then it's your turn all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So everybody has to be there early, like at 7 a.m, which is like earlier than school starts. So I arrived there pretty nervous and was signing in. And the secretary told me, why are you here? You should be here like at 10. And I was like, are you kidding me? I got up really, really early to be here. What should I do? And she was like, yeah, have some coffee, take a walk. I don't know. And so I was sent away for, it's like, you're still early if you arrive back here at 10. So I went, I had like to take a, I don't know, 15-minute walk to the next shopping mall. And it was the time when the CDs were still like displayed in this specific shop, and you were allowed to take a CD and pre-listen to it. So you could decide if you want to buy the CD or not. If you only knew like one single from the CD, you could
at
just
Müller
take
or where?
Yes, at Müller. And then I just like, I strolled through the mall and it was like, okay, what am I doing with my time? I didn't bring a book or anything. There were no smartphones.
If you have
there
time,
no social
to,
media.
Time to pass, you always go to that store.
Yes. And I've seen parts of that movie on the Disney Channel, like just clips and something. I was like, hey, that one song that stuck in my mind, that was good. And then I listened to the music and it was, I don't know, one song from the middle. I'm not even sure. And then like I skipped through all the titles, all the songs. And then We're All In This Together in the end was playing. And I really, really got in the mood and I was like motivated and hyped up. And I'm like, I have such a great group of friends, even if I don't pass and have to like come back to school with my hat hanging, I know they will lift me up and support me. And that was kind of the message that stuck with me. And I don't even know if I bought the CD. I don't think I did. I just like marched back with the song in my head and was like, this is a good like walking pace. Yeah. And then I marched back to the driving school and then I passed, luckily. But I have had a very mean examiner who like let me believe I failed, and only in the last second told me that I passed. But that was the song that like gave me the push to like walk in confidently and to take my test with the like, I practiced, I can do it, I'll pass now. Yeah. So that's always.
I think it's incredible how you remember that my driving test was also at the 20th of December. Like, how do you remember that?
Because it was a very significant day for me. It has and
because
it meant independence, being able to drive.
Yeah, right.
So, I remember when I did it, so I realized, hey, I've got my driver's license 5 years, and you took your driving test today, so I remember. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because my driving test, it was the first day of snow.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very lucky because I think it's the only reason I passed.
because
I drove horribly. My teacher was like, what are you doing today?
Yeah.
I was so nervous. But he tried to like kid me into thinking I failed as well, but I knew your story.
Yeah.
So I said, well, you can't give me my driver's license because I'm only 17 yet.
And
you
it's
give
just
me the
permit thingy, permission.
Permit
to
drive
with
your parents.
Parents.
And
So if you don't know this yet, if you're listening from another country, when I was 18 or before I turned 18, they changed the laws a tiny bit in Germany so that you were not only allowed to drive your car when you're 18, but you got the chance to do your driver's test at 16 or shortly before your 17th birthday. And then you were allowed to drive with a guardian, a parent who was signed in on that permission slip. So you could get the practice while still someone more experienced was in the car. And I think that's very, very good that they're doing this. And I really, really profited from from doing this and getting in practice. So when I was 18 and allowed to drive alone legally, then I was actually independent and didn't need to like find my way around. So that's a really
good... I remember my 18th birthday, driving to school by myself was like, I already knew the car, so it wasn't like
a new feel.
The first time driving with another car than the driving school car or something.
Yeah.
It was just I'm sure I can do it now because I had like half a year practice.
Yeah.
So I think that's was a great idea as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so
I have another honorable mention from the Grand Prix. And I wanted to talk about this like two episodes ago already. Anna Oh from South Korea has a club routine music from the television show Glee.
Oh, yeah.
It's a song, A Little Less Conversation. like covered by the Glee cast.
Spanish and it's Russian so from funny. Mr. Shu. It's so hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you don't know the show Glee, essentially it follows a group of teenagers in a high school who form a Glee club, which is singing and dancing, putting on a performance
it's
together.
It's a show choir.
And yeah, show
like
choir.
And choir.
They have covered like every popular song there is out there and have done
while
this
the show,
amazingly. They
while
won
the show was on, yeah.
Emmys and several... other big awards. Prizes, etc.,
yeah.
awards. Yes, yeah, so very successful. And I won... Oh, that's my connection to that December where I took the driving test because for that Christmas, I got like every album.
Yeah, I remember.
The Glee cast.
I remember. Yeah.
That was such a great present because it was pre-Spotify. So...
Yes.
I had all the albums that were out there then. I think it was like season 3 completed and there were another 3 seasons later on. But on this soundtrack, also this song, A Little Less Conversation, was played. And I had to think of that as well when we saw Siliana's new hoop routine. Because it's Hello, and that is also a song that was covered in the Glee series. And Dream On by Margarita Kolosov, the ribbon routine as well.
Yes.
So I think there were several other titles where I thought, oh, well, the Glee cast covered that as well. So,
and the funny thing is, we mostly know these songs from watching
through
the show
these versions
because
yes.
we're too young to know the songs when they came out first, like Hello was in
we
the
are
80s
not big and classic rock experts or anything, so
yeah,
we only got to know the songs through that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like when did we start listening to music? For me it was like mid-90s when I started primary school with the Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears, the Spice Girls, etc. So that was the music that I like actively listened to or was able to listen to. And everything before that is just, for me, like, memorized in my head as an oldie of some sort, even though they're not. But, yeah, so that's where we're coming from. And the younger generations, they have trouble, like, identifying music from the first decade of this millennial. So, millennium, so... I can identify every popular song between 2000 and 2010 by year. Like, play me any song that's popular. I know, because that was my high school time and I remember everything.
Yeah.
And the kids are like, what? I don't even know how old this song is. Is it like 50 years old or is it 20 years old? And I'm like, okay, wow.
Yeah.
You have not
but
been
that's
around
the
for
80s.
Long.
That's the 80s for me. Like, I can't tell you, is this from the start of the 80s or at the end or what happened in the world when this song came out, etc.
Exactly.
So
they were
just
too young for that.
They had in the series, they had different episodes, a tribute to, for example, a special artist or a theme where the pupils... should put a performance to. So I think
Sometimes they were.
This episode was something
situation.
To do with like the teacher being a Spanish teacher or
it's
something.
It's the Spanish teacher. The episode is called The Spanish Teacher, and Mr. Xu is very put down because he doesn't actually speak Spanish. He just like has to teach it, but at an American
such American cliche.
Unfortunately, it's often very, very true. You teach something and you just like read through the chapter to explain it in English. And I mean, that's very embarrassing for him. And especially since he has Spanish speaking students. So he wants to like become more Spanish in covering a very American song and making it sound Spanish and with the fake torero look. I mean, it's very... very Spain Spanish, yeah, so what we teach in European schools, but it would make a lot more sense to teach Mexican Spanish, Guatemalan Spanish, like the Spanish they speak in Honduras and Nicaragua, Colombia, etc. Just because it's so much closer to the S and they have lots of bigger population parts that are from Latin America and not necessarily from Spain. So, careful. Latino something doesn't mean Spanish. Latino means from Latin America. And that's Mr. Xu's biggest mistake. But it's just a fun cover and hilarious to watch. So, if you haven't watched Glee, please do so. If you listen to this podcast, we can promise you will enjoy it.
Yes. It's a bit, well, like, look, watching it back, it's a bit weird at the beginning. Like, I remember I was, like, teenage, I was, like, 16 when I started watching
it.
And it was, like,
for the time.
I was so, like, caught up in the relationships and, well, the songs, the music of it.
Everything.
And I rewatched it, like, when I was 25 and then I thought, well, okay, this is a bit weird. I understand why grown-ups think, oh my god, what is this?
A lot is weird, but a lot was very important at the time, especially for the LGBTQ community and showing all different types of people. Having Becky on the show, I believe today while we're recording this might be World Down Syndrome Day, so
definitely, yes.
Shout out to the actress. So bad for me for not knowing her name. But she did an excellent job on the show. She was a great performer. And we had a lot of problematic scenes that were put in the right context, I believe, to show the difficulties that society still holds for outcasts and people who don't fit in.
So it did a lot for teenagers in general and educating them, so very important show.
And
as well,
what I believe is its successor show wise or like talking about teenage issues or hot topics of the day is Netflix's Sex Education. It's not a musical, but topic wise and acceptance wise and showing what different ways of living your life there are, that's Sex Education for me. And it's also very, very hilarious and just a fantastic show. So go watch that one.
We got another message concerning Sofia Raffaeli. So a listener from Italy messaged us, if I can open the message on my phone. Yeah, from our listener, Ila, I think Ila is her name, and she first told us that she discovered our podcast and fell in love with it, which is wonderful.
Thank you so much.
And that she's Italian, and she wanted to tell us that the change of the coach Julieta Cantalupi from Italy to Israel was much more big of a deal than we like anticipated or knew, because Sofia Raffaeli had been training with her since she was 7 years old and was her first and unique coach, like just as a second mom, she often said.
Oh my gosh.
And
this is even
nobody
a
apart from her
scandal.
Family and her coaches knew what she went through in these last months. But in Italy, they don't used to change coaches. Like, I think it's the same in Germany with the club system, mm-hmm. where you're not changing coaches depending on your age group, but you're sticking with one coach. Mm-hmm. So this is really unusual. And nobody expected her to leave, since she grew together with Milena and Sofia and was like their second mom. So she thinks Sofia's hoop routine or hoop song is related to all that situation. Mm-hmm. She says, but it's only her opinion. She says, but the song says, "I will rescue you." So that is an information and in addition to that. Yeah, because we talked about her ball routine as well. And we were speculating that it is an Italian song that deals with heartache. Mm-hmm. She just wanted to tell us that we were right, in fact. Because it is a popular song of Puglia, which is a region in Italy. It's like the heel of the boot, so to say.
Yeah.
And it tells a story of a man praying the woman he loves, who is sleeping, to get up and open the door. Mm-hmm. So the name of the song can be translated with "Beautiful, you are sleeping." And the opening pose in the exercise, Sofia mimes with the hands a pillow.
Ah, okay.
So there is more background information on the story of that routine, and which I think is beautiful.
That message from that listener is exactly why we're doing this podcast, because we want to know all the background stories.
I was so excited.
That's exactly why we started this in the beginning. We want to know all the gossip that's happening behind there. And Sofia, I'm so, so sorry for your coach leaving you. This is like, this gives me secondhand heartache. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
This is very, very bad. I mean, I hope she, I mean, obviously she's doing great with whoever is her new coach, because she's performing better than ever. But still, I mean, wow. Listeners, yeah, let us know what you
really
think
as well.
If you have any more details on that one.
Because do you know of
really
any
shocking.
Other gossip in any country where a coach left their gymnast or vice versa?
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to like, okay. Gossip sounds like a very mean word, but we just
negative
want
word,
to
yeah,
know
but we
the...
want inside info.
Genau, inside information, background information. Just let us know what you know so we can share it with everyone. All right, so we've been talking for nearly an hour and I need to get more grading done. the World Cup in Athens is on this weekend. I believe you will put up a live stream or have already put up a live stream thingy that you found.
Yeah, I'm not really sure yet what will work. I think it is broadcasted on Vimeo, but we will see tomorrow if that works. And because at first it was a rumor that only the finals are live streamed, but then there was a test that all the qualification also is streamed, so we will keep you informed. And I'm really excited to see like the last new routines we have still have open. I'm excited for Margarita Kolosov's hoop routine. We haven't seen that yet.
And we hope this episode reaches you before like the Grand Prix is over.
The World Cup is over. Yeah.
Because we're recording this before, but you will have to do the cutting because my papers are
waiting. As I will be
waiting.
Watching the live stream tomorrow, the day after that, and the day after that, I hope I can get some editing in.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. All right. So I think we have enough for today. So we are concentrating from now on ongoing competitions, of course. Please feel free to send us in more requests or information or ideas you have about what we should talk about. If you like our podcast, make sure to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts or Amazon Music so you never miss a new episode. And make sure to follow us on Instagram at discussing.rg.podcast as well. We will put all the information for you into the show notes as always. And thank you so much for listening. And as always,
don't forget to point your toes. Bye.
Bye.
We'd like to say a special thank you to Mona for creating our amazing cover art and to Jenny for sparking our passion for rhythmic gymnastics.